Welcome once again to another episode of The Coaching Perspective, the only show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here in studio today, and we have a fascinating guest and an equally fascinating topic for you. Our topic for today is increasing board effectiveness through emotions. Boy, that one stopped me. Emotions in the boardroom. Our guest today is Dr. Lola Gershfeld. She is CEO and founder of Level 5 Executive. She's a board dynamics specialist who has developed a process to improve board performance by tuning into emotional connections. She uses theories of attachment, research on adult bonding, and neuroscience to crack the code of board effectiveness. So listen in to learn how you can increase your board effectiveness, stop dysfunction before it affects your board bottom line. Well, let me give you a little bit of Dr. Lola's background here. She has gathered and developed highly effective techniques and tools for creating positive interaction among board members, between the executive team and the board, and the bond between the board and investors, all of which end up leading to improved board performance, talent retention, and better risk management. Her fresh perspective has led her to an emotionally focused approach where she creates safe environments for the board to increase performance. And this approach includes the board dynamics process, a roadmap to creating emotional safety in the boardroom. She has a doctorate in organizational psychology and more than 30 years of experience in business operations, and she demonstrates a unique focus on building a board's value through high integrity, intent, capabilities, and results. And she has experience with working all types of boards in a variety of industries. She is also a prolific writer, has been published in both magazines and books, and we are honored to have you here today. Welcome, Dr. Lola.
Thank you, Doc. It's so nice to be here. I'm very excited.
Well, I'm very excited. As I shared with you before, I'm on a couple of boards myself, and this is a topic that I could use a little education on. So, it is great to have you here today. So let's just jump in by finding out a little bit about you before we get into our topic. So what did you do before what you're doing now? How did you get to this point?
Well, before, about 30 years ago, my husband and I, we started opening manufacturing companies. And the reason why I started Level 5 Executive was really interesting from my first board experience. About 15 years ago, I served on a board that was well-diverse, highly intelligent people. And I had about 15 years by that time of building and running manufacturing companies, so I was pretty confident. But I couldn't believe how completely useless and incompetent I felt when some of our board members would get into these awful fights with each other. I couldn't stop them fighting. I didn't really understand what they were fighting about, but it really was obvious to me that they weren't just fighting about the content issues. There was something much more heavy at stake. So whenever I would take one side or the other, they would get angry at me or somebody would shut down and stop talking. I even tried to teach them communication skills, thinking that maybe they need it.
So they could argue better. Right?
But they didn't want to learn communication skills. I tried to teach them negotiation skills. Well, that didn't help either. So our board meetings would continue and drag on for hours with really no progress.
Okay.
And I keep thinking, it took me about 2 years to figure out what to do next. So I keep thinking, what can we do? And one day I came to the board and said, I'd like to ask you to take 5-minute breaks every hour and go around the room giving handshakes to each other. First they look at me, they thought, like, are you crazy? But after the first argument, they decided to do it. And that meeting, and I know it's really it sounds funny, but that meeting was one of our most productive meetings we've had in a long time. Well, for the life of me, I couldn't understand why that silly exercise worked. And it kind of took me to the field of psychology, learning. I quit my board and I started to learn about how the brain works and how emotions impact our brain function and our creativity. And suddenly it dawned on me. It worked because of emotional connection.
Yeah.
When we went around the boardroom giving handshakes to each other, it kind of broke the cycle of negativity and kept our brain a little bit more calm, and we were able to be open to other people's ideas and really move forward with a board meeting.
I had never thought about this before you told this story, and I'm on a board. One of the boards has two women in it, and those two women, I think, change the dynamics of the meeting, because when they walk in the boardroom, the rest of us guys are there getting very professional. You know, we're making sure our shirt's on right and our coat's over the chair, wherever it is, and we're all ready to get down to business. Well, they come in and they go around the room and they hug each one of us. Guys don't hug. But once they walk over and hug you, it's like the relationship's different.
Exactly.
We're no longer having this professional, important business relationship. We're now two people who like each other.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I hear you saying. Yes. Was the difference. And that's the emotion you're referring
that's
to in the
boardroom. That's the emotion. That's emotion, right? And over the years, you know, that technique was giving handshakes and hugging. Yeah. is a really good one. There's a really new science of adult bonding and emotional connection provides us with a clear map on how to manage your emotions, how to send clear, coherent emotional signals to each other, and how to create interactional patterns that create this accessibility and responsiveness to each other.
Okay.
You know, John Bowlby is a theorist he was the founder of attachment theory. And he said emotional openness is what creates trust, safety, bonding. And so when your board members are able to tune into each other, create that emotional responsiveness, they're able to share concerns, to share information much more easily, to be motivated, to take more assignments. You have a whole new dynamics happening.
Well, we know that when you don't feel safe in a conversation, you don't hear accurately.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So now you're 50% handicapped. Here you are. You still have the ability to talk, but you aren't hearing what's going on.
Exactly. Exactly. And board members have such a big responsibility of making the right decisions for the company. So when you don't hear half of the information that you need, how can you make an informed decision? So I'm really excited to share this with your listeners.
Well, look, I interrupted you. You were telling us you left the board, you went back and started studying. I know you went back and got your degree at this time.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, exactly. And I started
additional
degrees and knowledge. And I started experimenting. I started to learning and sharing this information, and people started finding me and being very intrigued by, just like you, with the word emotions.
Yeah.
You know, many board members hide their emotions. And what we learn about in science, that what the new science shows, is the emotion helps us to really regulate how we interact with each other. So if you're already walking into the boardroom and you're hiding your emotions, guess what's happening with you? You're already feeling anxious.
Yeah, you've left half yourself outside.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I'm really happy to do that. Yeah.
Well, tell us about, okay, so that's how you got into this subject. And then you created Level 5 Executive. Tell us what is your company, what you do, who you do it for, and how you find your clients.
So Level 5 Executive, we provide that unique expertise for board members, CEOs, how to create more effectiveness on their board. And the way we find is that people find us, actually, because we have such a unique approach, emotionally focused approach. I have not seen any consultant use that. So that's very direct. And really, when I talk to the CEOs or directors, they say, oh my gosh, you get to the heart of the problem very quickly. And I have to tell you, you know, people ask me, like, well, how do I know if my board is dysfunctional? And people might say, well, it depends on how, you know, whether you fight or not. But what the research shows is that's not a really good barometer. The way you really know if your board is dysfunctional, if there's a distance, if you are, you know, like afraid to share your concerns, if you feel like your board members are not there for you, if you feel you feel like threatened to share your concerns. I mean, I had one CEO, for example, I know of a company, they had a really big governance issue, and they had to pay $250,000 in penalties.
Oh, wow.
when the CEO, the CEO was like blown away. Like, I cannot believe that our board just passed by it, you know, and had this happen. And what he did is he decided to do kind of his personal interview. So he met with each board member separately, individually. Okay. And one director said that, you know, I knew about this issue for 6 months. There was just no opportunity to share it. And what he ended up, instead of sharing it, he was worrying about it. And it kept him up all night worrying about it. And besides, he got an ulcer because of that. But the CEO was thinking about it himself, like, oh my gosh, how could this happen? How could this director knew about it and was afraid to share it? So boards have to really pay attention to the engagement process, to how much board members feel safe to share such information, and not to be afraid of being criticized or blamed. And that's creates a big distance between board members when they feel not safe.
Okay, let me clarify something here. You talk about the fact of dysfunctional boards and what you can do to help them, but what about boards that we wouldn't label as dysfunctional that are functioning? Is there also the ability through becoming more aware of emotional connections to increase the performance and the capability of the board? Or is this strictly a remedy for bad behavior, children?
No. No, Doug. Absolutely. Every board goes through the process of development and growth. And so you want to make sure that the board members continuously grow. And with this board dynamics process that we take the board through, is we help them to identify their pattern of interaction, what they're currently in, whether it is negative or can be better. Mm-hmm. And then they learn about their emotions, how to be accessible, responsive, and engaged. One of the things that our brain constantly asks is, are you there for me? This is the indicator of safety. This is the indicator of how much I can trust you, of our bond, of our connection. Are you there for me? ARE, are you accessible to me? Can you be accessible to me? Can you be open to my ideas even though you are feeling stressed? Are you responsive to me? Can you feel my pain? Can you be empathetic to my concerns and worries even though you don't agree with them, even though you don't see it? And are you engaged? Can you be emotionally engaged during our discussions and collaborations, even though you're feeling stressed?
You know, in some ways, this sounds so foreign. It's like, I'm in a boardroom and we're working with problems, and you want me to have this conversation about, are you there for me? I got this big dollar issue we need to talk about. I don't have time for that. What do you say to that?
Well, that's exactly the dollar issue that you have to address, that creates stress for you.
Yeah.
So that brings a lot of emotional anxiety. So that means you are not being open to maybe somebody wants to share an idea and you're saying, well, no, that's a bad idea. Or you start to criticize the other person. You know, negative cycles start with one person complaining, criticizing, becoming very angry, and the other starts defending, distancing, and stonewalling. The whole idea is when you continually engage with a person, you create safety. If you are still being able to talk about your fears and stressors and discussions. If you can discuss items,
yes,
you're good. You know, you're being accessible, responsive, and engaged. But when what happens is when people get stressed or they don't agree with something and they can't prove their point, or they get so anxious, they stop communicating. They withdraw. They disengage at the board meeting. And what people right away notice something is wrong, right?
Yeah.
You can sense it.
Yeah.
And this is something that board members don't realize, is the impact they have on each other. If I'm feeling stressed and I can turn to you and say, Doug, I'm really worried about this problem. If you can say, Lola, yeah, it sounds like I can feel, I can understand, tell me more. Well, my gosh, you just helped me to reduce my stress. And in a stressful situation, when we are stressed, we have these chemicals in our brain, cortisol, that is produced. And cortisol, for a long period of time, have shown in studies that it stops creativity, It creates a very slow process. Your brain doesn't function very well. Your social skills deplete. You know, I cannot be empathetic to you anymore. I'm not cordial anymore. Have you noticed, Doug, that when people get stressed, sometimes they stop looking at you? You know, at people, they lose eye contact?
Yeah.
Well, what is that? That's a disconnection.
They withdraw.
Yeah. That's withdrawal, exactly. Yeah. They stop calling your name, you know, addressing you by name. I was at a board meeting like that, where a board director got upset, and there was a very difficult situation, and he was just looking at the window while one board member was talking. Complete disconnection. And what happens with the other board members? They start paying attention to the person who is withdrawn.
Sure.
Rather than to the person who is talking and addressing the issues.
Okay. Well, we got a lot to talk about here. Who are your clients typically? What, when you say you work with boards, what kind of boards? What size of boards?
Boards any size at any industry. As long as they are boards who make decisions, who work together, it can be for-profit boards, corporate boards, family board, university boards. I work hospital boards. I worked with a Central Club board. You know, club governance boards. So any board that want to be better together, and in a board function. The most fun you have is when you collaborate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
It's a high.
It's a high. It's like, do you dance, Doug?
Not well.
But I used to dance Argentine tango.
Oh, boy. You're out of my league.
In Argentine tango, you have these emotions that you have to be in tune with your partner. You know, because you improvise the dance. You don't have a set of steps.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right, right. Like okay. In a regular tango, you have a routine. Exactly.
Yeah.
But in an Argentine tango, you improvise and you have to feel each other. Well, collaboration is the same thing. In order to have great collaboration, you have to have this amazing attunement and coordination with each other. And emotional connection potentiates this attunement and coordination. And when you have this, it's like, I don't know, your listeners are adults, right? It's like making love, you know, okay. Having this amazing energy. The goal after every board meeting is when people leave the board meeting, they feel inspired. They think about the problems outside the board meeting. They think about how to solve that issue, how to bring more investors, how to create more influence, how to create change. That's what happens when we are emotionally connected.
At my next board meeting, I suggest they should all learn how to do the Argentina tango. We should take time out for a dance lesson.
Do you listen to an orchestra? Do you go to music concert?
Yes.
Well, you can know when the orchestra is all together.
Yes.
Like you can feel it. You can feel it. Well, the best orchestra is when every musician is the best soloist, because they're responsible for every note. The best board member is the best emotional response, how they can manage their emotions. That's the best. Because if you tune into your emotions, you can tune into other people's emotions. You can sense what's happening with them behind the words, behind the message.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break in a minute, but before we do, I want to ask you a question we've asked all of our guests that we've ever had on the show. What is your guiding principle in life? What is the true north that is constant for you no matter what you're doing?
My true north is integrity. Always be honest. Intent. Have a great intent for the other person's interest. Capabilities. Always improve your capabilities. And deliver results.
I love it. Okay, and we're back here with our guest, Dr. Lola Gershfeld, talking about how to make your board more effective. You know, one of the things we were just chatting about at the break was the fact that boards emotionally are a roller coaster ride. There's moments of total connection, moments of disconnect, much like the example she used was a marriage. Tell us a little bit about that. What's the goal there?
Yeah, absolutely, Doug. the thing is, in with any relationship, you have moments where you're feeling a lot more stressful than you are when you are much more calm. When things are going well for the company, you're much more happier. You're kind of riding the wave. But there were times when stress gets in your way, and if you don't know how to manage those emotions, you become disconnected. So what I tell that the boards, the best boards, is the ones that know how to reconnect and how to understand that you go through this moment of disconnection, and that's okay, as long as you know how to reconnect to each other.
Shortest recovery period.
Yeah, exactly. Shortest recovery. The faster you can reconnect, the better your board is going to be. The safer they will be, they will feel, and the much more engaging and productive you will become on your board meetings.
In my own experience, I can see where in cases where you've been unable to do this reconnect, where you've gone through a stressful period, and the board meeting ends, that is the wrong time to end the board meeting.
Right.
You know,
because you don't want to leave basically board members feeling on the limp. You know,
yeah.
they are sitting on the cliff with their feet hanging, and now what? You know, who takes the first move? What do we say? And when we reach to each other, if we are fueled by anxiety, our reaching can come up as complaining, blaming, criticizing.
Yeah.
You know, and they're looking for that bad guy. So when we work with boards, the most important thing we say, we make sure that board members know is that there's no bad guy. Every person, every board member cares about the company, want to be connected. This is what our new science teaches us, is we are human beings. We have a mammalian brain that we want to be connected with people we depend on. We need to know that if I call you, you will respond to me. So if you're feeling stressed and if you're disconnected and if I reach to you and I reach you by complaining, blaming, and criticizing, you're not going to respond to me. But if I tell you, Doug, I'm worried about this issue. I'm feeling very anxious about this. I'm scared. Then you come back to me and you say, "Well, Lola, I can help you. You know, let's talk about it. Let's see what." But if board members don't know how to do that, they just keep complaining, criticizing, blaming each other.
An endless cycle.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I want to clarify. You and I talked about this before, but some people, when we use the term board, when we talk about board members, they exclude management personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and most all boards have the CEO as a member or the president as a member of the board. But I know you've shared with me that your work, when you start working with the board, includes the management team's interface with that board, too.
Absolutely.
And I thought that was a key point, because there's where the stress exists. The board with one set of guidelines, the management team coming in with maybe a different day-to-day perspective about how those guidelines are to be interpreted, and now we have a conflict or a potential misunderstanding.
Yes, absolutely. They, as board members, need to feel safe with each other, so is the executive team. You know, they want to be able to come and share the information and be feel free to answer questions without feeling like they are being criticized and judged and blamed and somehow. And so you want to create that safety for them so they can share more information. That's, I think, board members need that to make good decisions. I mean, you never want to be in a position where you don't know everything and then you are stuck with the surprise.
Yeah.
That's a bad...
I am very fortunate. In the boards that I participate on, they absolutely look to management as a member of the board.
That's great.
It is not the board telling management what to do. It is can we solve the problems better together?
Yes, that's very good.
You know,
I want to give you an example.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, example
Go ahead.
Of some of the really good boards and how they have solved the challenges together. The best example is the Allergan board. You know, one of the biggest cases in corporate history is when they were defending a hostile takeover by Valeant. And that was a very stressful time. I mean, you look at their board at that time. You had 10 board members. I think two only board members had any experience with a hostile takeover. Some of the board members were brand new to the board. One of them was brand new to the corporate board, period.
Oh, wow.
So you have this huge stress
coming to you, because now you have basically the whole company is in your hands. So one of the things that they were very lucky is to have a lead director, Mike Gallagher, who understood emotional connection and the power of emotional connection. So some of the things that he did is, number one, he created a mandatory engagement policy, meaning that every board meeting, every board member was expected to voice their opinion, was heard, and was made sure that everybody kind of respected each other's viewpoint. That was number one. So when you are feeling engaged,
yes,
and you are invited to share your feedback right away. How does it feel, Doug?
Oh, when you invite me, it's like this is a bonus time.
A bonus time, right? Yeah. You feel valuable. You feel important. You feel a member of this board. So that's created an emotional connection. The second thing that he did is he validated each person's differences. You know, if anybody started to attack another person due to stress, right? He helped them to manage their emotion and say, let's respect everybody's difference. Let's be open and validated person's concerns and differences.
Okay, so when you talk about bringing emotion into the board meeting, you're not talking about letting the board go wild with their emotions and attack people.
Right,
that's
exactly
not the kind of emotional freedom we're talking about here.
Exactly.
So give me a better... So when we are inviting emotions, what are we inviting?
We're inviting to manage your own emotions.
Okay.
So you don't get suddenly fight or flight response, reaction from your brain. So if somebody starts raising their voice, vocal tonality and facial expressions are very quick for our brain to kind of interpret.
Sure. Right?
And so you want to be able to tune and say, and the reason why you are raising your voice is not because you're angry at me, but because it's painful for you, because there's some sense of fear. So on the Allergan board, there was lots of stress from the outside, and there was also lots of shame going on. The investors were all pushing them to accept the deal, were giving the really negative comments.
Oh, yeah, I remember reading about it.
Yeah, exactly. So they had to deal with that. So when board members knew how to tune to each other and can call to each other at night and saying, look, I'm really worried about this. Should we go ahead and accept this deal? The other board members were able to put them back and say, look, this deal is not good for our company. It does not align with our principles. It does not align with our mission of the company. So they were able to calm their emotions down and keep on the path of the finding the right company. And you know what happened, right?
Yes.
They found the right company and made $25 billion more for the shareholders.
I'm still trying to come to grips with that number, but okay.
Now, empathy, Doug, I really want to touch on empathy.
Okay.
Empathy is a really magical technique of calming the emotions. Empathy is when I feel with your person. I can feel your pain. I can feel what's happening with you. I can hear what you hear. I can see what you see. And I can feel in your heart what you feel in your heart. So Brené Brown is an amazing researcher. Have you heard of Brené Brown?
No.
No? She does research on shame. And she said that when people feel shame, the best cure is empathy. One CEO shared with me that when he would go to board meetings and he would share his reports, board members would just attack him and make comments that would really make him feel embarrassed. And he left that company because of that. Just being shameful and putting somebody on the spot is very, very painful experience.
So how do you recommend a board deals with that? Okay, there is obviously going to be management bringing bad reports occasionally to a board, and the board's not going to be happy about it. The board needs to let management know or needs to discuss the problem. But you're saying, if they feel shamed by it, that closes everything down. How do they deal with it?
Well,
recommendation?
Right, of course. The first thing is you want to, first of all, slow down your emotion. So what you want to do is you first want to understand from their point of view. Remember, every board member and every executive team member cares about the, okay. That's number one, okay? And when you have that sense of state of mind, you voice your questions, your express your questions differently, right?
Absolutely.
You now want to collaborate with them. Can you help me to understand this? How did this come about? See, you're not saying, how can you do that? You know, don't you care about this? You know, this investor, or don't you care about this problem? How can you let this happen? No, what you do is, can you help, Doug? Can you help me to understand this?
So it's inviting them into the discussion.
It's inviting them. Yes. Yeah, so they tell you what's happening with them. They can be honest if they made a mistake. One CEO, for example, I was at a board meeting, and we kind of got into the realm of the emotions, what's happening in their interaction pattern. And she said, and one board member says, you never can admit that you made a mistake. And the CEO says, I don't admit because I'm afraid you're going to use it against me.
Oh, wow.
Ah.
Wow.
Now we got to the point of it. Once we can recognize, verbalize it, what is the fear, we can change the interactional pattern.
Sure.
You
have to create a safe zone if you want to get the truth.
Exactly. You have to create the safe zone. Another share this example. The Airgas board. Airgas is a company that they produce liquid gas.
Oh, okay. I'm not familiar with them.
In 2010, one of their competitors offered them to buy them out. And Airgas said no. So Air Products was their competitors. Air Products went after them in a hostile takeover. And they were able to remove, as a surprise, at one of the board meetings, by proxy, remove three of their board members and put their own three board members on the board.
Wow.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Imagine, Doug, imagine.
Now,
you're sitting on the board.
Not a comfortable table
exactly.
to be sitting at. You know, it's like the guest you didn't. It's like nasty Uncle Jim has just arrived for dinner.
Just arrived. Three of them.
Yeah.
Three of them. And so you have this situation where you feel very uncomfortable. You're feeling stressed. You're feeling like an enemy sitting against you. And now you have to collaborate with them, right? You have to work with them. And how do you do it? These three people want to take your company. So what they did is they knew about emotional connection. They created so much safety for these board members that they pulled them on their side. And when the vote came when the decision to vote came about, they voted against the merger.
Oh. Somebody was disappointed.
That is the power of emotional connection, Doug.
Okay.
They were so invited. The CEO met with them privately, separately, talked about the history of the company, got to know them about the vision, the mission, the values of the companies. And slowly, the board members would involve them into the discussion and really attach them to the company and attach them to the board. And that made the whole difference.
You know, as I'm listening to you talk about this, I want to expand what you're saying beyond the examples of people being antagonistic to one another. Because I think so many times the lack of this emotional connection that you're discussing, the lack of empathy, the lack of being able to hear, is a result of people taking different positions on solving a problem, not necessarily always attacking the other person.
I don't know. Really, the differences don't make a difference. Don't make the disconnect.
Same problem.
It's the how the differences are voiced, handled.
Okay.
I mean, think about the Apple board when Steve Jobs was the CEO.
Yeah.
They had lots of differences. But what happened was the board would blame, complain, criticize Jobs. And what did he do? He would defend, distance, and stonewall. Stonewalling is a very dangerous behavior. Stonewalling means you cut off the communication. You stop communication. And that's a danger cue for the brain. That brain says, this is an enemy. So what happened on their board is they would go into the cycles of these defensive, distancing, stonewalling, complaining, criticizing, and then they would create this distance, and then the board created more distance between Steve Jobs, and finally they created so much distance that they didn't see anything good about each other. They forgot that they cared about the company. And what they fired him.
Yeah.
Look at Man's Warehouse. George Zimmer. His own company. The same thing happened. It wasn't the difference. It was how they went about the difference. How they, again, got into this negative cycle and the negative pattern that they were just caught in this dreadful cycle. So it's not the people. It's the cycle that gets boards in trouble.
Do you work with new boards as often as you do with existing boards? I'm thinking, you know, what you're talking about is so easy to see it being, I can see you being brought in where the board is in existence and having an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Really clear that we need you. But I'm thinking about, what about new boards that haven't got an issue, but they haven't learned how to communicate with one another yet?
Well, it's the same process.
Same process.
Yeah, the same process. Because
so
they,
just as valuable to the company, to the board.
Absolutely, because you want to learn about your emotions. What happens to you? It all starts about your emotions. How do you react to stress? How do you respond to when you don't agree with somebody? What is your interactional pattern looks like? And so once you learn it, and are you able to remember the vision and mission and core values when you make decisions? You know, that's another thing that we do, is once people calm their emotions down, how do you align the board? Is through the vision, mission, and core values. Do you pay attention to them when you make decisions? Because decisions, trust develops when you have consistent decision making. And so the core values is the one that keeps you aligned on that consistency.
Okay. You shared with me a little bit before we went on the air with what your process is, how you work with, mm-hmm. with a board. Would you like to share that with the audience?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing that we do is we observe the board meeting and we identify the pattern of their interaction. So we create the safety so board members can feel safe to express themselves, to express what their concerns are. And so the first stage is always creating that awareness of what steps you take, like dancing, right?
Yeah.
What steps you take in the dance that you step on each other's toes, right? Every board member has a role, and they take a specific step in creating that interactional pattern. So that's the first thing we do, is to identify their interactional pattern. The second stage is to create that awareness. We understand the emotions behind it. We understand, we try to board members to help them to be this accessible, responsive, and engaged, and making sure that they don't withdraw, how they deal with stress, and making sure that they are becoming much more aware as a group, uniting and pulling each other closer instead of pushing each other away. And the third stage is we consolidate. And what we do is we make sure that to say that, look what you have done, you know, because the transformation happens right in the board meeting. And Doug, I have to tell you, it's so amazing for me to see. I walk into the boardroom, these board members are miles away from each other. In particular, one board member says, I don't have any time to take any more assignments. I'm very busy. I've been traveling. You know, I'm going to be traveling a lot. I can't do anything. And once you work with them, once you touch their emotions, you address their concerns, suddenly everybody become closer together. And at the end of the board meeting, this particular board member is volunteering to take new assignments. I mean, how great is that?
You're talking about doing this for a board. I'm envisioning that any group that works together would be the same process and really much of the same issues. Have you worked with management teams to do the same thing with them?
Yes. Well, I haven't worked with management team, but I always, from my own personal board experience,
yeah.
I learned that whether you work with management team or HR person, it's always the board that really makes a huge difference in the company culture.
Okay.
Yeah, so
the point of the greatest impact is probably working with the board.
Yes, and remember, I want to tell you the story. Shaheen Vasu is a manager of the Center Club. And I've worked with him for a couple of years now to create more engaging board at his club. And we had lunch the other day, just like 2 weeks ago. And he said that 4 years ago, when he became a manager of the club, he started to think, how does he take the club to the next level? So he would go to other clubs and visit them and learn from them. What did they do that made them difference? So one manager says, you know, we did this reinvention. We remodeled the whole place, and it kind of brought the new blood, new energy into the club. And so Shaheen said, okay. He came back to the club, went to Club Corp, and asked for $3 million, I think it cost him to do the reinvention, and he did it.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah,
yeah. You've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So two years it took them to do it, and they finished. And he said that something was still missing. He wasn't sure what, but something was still missing. And when he met me, and I started talking about emotions, he was laughing at me, like, what? This is so ridiculous. We're going to create this emotional connection. But he said that right now, after 2 years, he cannot believe how amazing effective it was. The board is a glue, it became. The glue that provided him confidence, support, and encouragement to take it to his staff and manage his staff better. The whole club is becoming like, you're pulling members into the club because the whole vibe, the whole energy has changed because of emotional connection.
So that is a great example. You're talking about the impact on the board, rolling down to the impact on management, rolling into the impact on the whole organizational structure.
Absolutely, Doug. Exactly.
That is huge.
That is huge. Emotional connection is a new era of board effectiveness.
Okay. Look, we're getting close to running out of time here. So is there anything else you want to be sure to share with the audience that maybe you didn't get to yet or I interrupted you on?
Well, I just want to share that I think people can go on our website, level5executive.com, and read about it. I want to train as many consultants as I can so this can be spread around to all the corporate boardrooms and nonprofit boards, any boards. And I think there's going to be a great, huge movement into that. Emotional intelligence, as you know, have been in our corporate cultures for some time, for 2-3 decades, right?
Well, and I mean, the current literature and research being done on the impact of the brain on our thought patterns and our decision making is really validating sort of the gut reaction we've all had for a long time.
Yes, exactly. And so I think it's about revolutionizing the boards.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And the best place for people to find out about you is your website, level5executive.com.
All spelled out. Yeah, 5 is spelled out. Okay. And LinkedIn on the Twitter, Facebook.
YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. Facebook. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
So excited to be here, Doug. I'm really, really honored.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time and welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio community.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, look, we've been listening to Dr. Lola Gershfeld and Level 5 Executive. Really, check out her website. Some phenomenal information, great testimonials from people that she's worked with, from boards that she's worked with, and some great resources in terms of articles that she has written that I found extremely useful to me that I hadn't run across before, and some good video clips from presentations she's made.
Yeah, and Effective Board Dynamics for a guide for CEOs and directors is on the Amazon.
Okay, thank you very much. I forgot that. Effective Board Dynamics. All right.
Okay.
Great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, if you've been listening to our show, thank you very much for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other shows with other interesting guests. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be in the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, HR professionals. Okay, let's be honest. Anybody interesting, fascinating, and knowledgeable in their field, I want to talk to you. I want to get you on the show and get you exposed to our listeners. All you have to do is send me an email, Doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, this is Doug Gefeller. I hope that you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information about the impact of emotion on group dynamics, and that you can put that to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller, right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.